The Sword of the Spirit podcast is back after a short break. And this time I'm here with Brother Peter James in defense of the new IFB. And we'll start this thing off in 1 minute. Episode 51 of the podcast. I want to open with this scripture here out of Jeremiah chapter 3. It says, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." If that was true for them, for the children of Israel, you know what? It's true for us here, the spiritual Israel. And that's exactly what God has done. He's given us pastors. He's given us teachers. He's given us men of God that we could look up to. And so that's one of the many reasons why I wanted to do this podcast tonight. It's called In Defense of the New IFB. I'm here with Brother Peter James. I'm going to introduce him here in a moment. There are a lot of positives associated with this movement. And that's what we're going to highlight here on the program, along with some misconceptions about it. Now, I want to get this out of the way first. Just because we're doing a show like this doesn't mean that we believe the new IFB is perfect, okay? That would be ridiculous. And it would be a false accusation levied toward us if you thought that's what we believe. We don't believe that. You know, I'm sure just like anything, it does have problems, just like anything would have problems, because it's a group of people who are trying to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But with that out of the way, I do believe that it's unfairly attacked. It's unfairly attacked by Christians, and it's unfairly attacked by people who are not Christians. It's received a lot of hate over the years from lots of different people, and yet it's changed so many lives, including the life of Brother Peter James, who's with me right now. So I'll go ahead and segue to him. Peter James, thanks for coming on tonight. I appreciate it. I know that this is a subject that you feel very passionate about. We had a really good phone conversation the other day, and we were both fired up, but it's good to have you here on the air.
Yeah, it's good to have you back too, Ben. We weren't enjoying your hiatus, but thankfully it was shorter than some of us thought it would be. So we're talking about the new IFB, and you're right that it is unfairly attacked by Christians, non-Christians, and oddly enough, even those people who would even call themselves new IFB, or, you know, at least they pretend to have one foot in the new IFB, at least. But I'm so thankful for this movement. Do you want to get into that? Why, like,
we're going to
testimonies?
Absolutely, yeah.
What do you want to start with? There's so much we could
say. There's so much to start off with. I think the best thing to do to start things off would be to share what... How about this, actually? For someone who's maybe tuning in and doesn't know what the hell we're talking about, let's actually define new IFB, right? Because some people might be confused. It seems like people have different definitions of it. I'm going to give you my definition and tell you what I believe the movement, quote unquote, is. Now, first of all, you don't have to call it New IFB if you don't want to. You can call it something else. Some people just refer to it as the movement. Some people say New IFB. People have different ways of describing this thing. It's not a denomination. The New IFB, in my opinion, the way I would define it is it's a group of churches that share doctrines, that believe in the same doctrines by and large, other than some minor differences, and are in fellowship one with another. But specifically, and this might rattle some people and trigger them, but I'm going to just say it anyway. Specifically in fellowship with Pastor Anderson and Pastor Jimenez. The way I look at it is if there's a church that comes out and just hates Pastor Anderson, then I would not consider them new IFB. And the same would be the case for Pastor Roger Jimenez as well. So the thing for me is there's an element of fellowship involved as well. But, you know, it's weird because if one pastor were to come out and say, start trashing Pastor Shelley, for example, or Pastor Bruce Mejia, then that individual is going to end up trashing Pastor Anderson anyway, right? That's how it works. It's not like
they like to trash like Pastor Anderson by proxy.
Right.
Or they like to trash like basically like where the what's the word? It's like they attack new IFB minded people, you know, like because they feel like they can't get away with attacking Pastor Anderson. So basically attacking Pastor Anderson and preachers like him, that wouldn't fly too well for, you know, they'd be exposed pretty fast. So what they do is they just take it out on us, people who share the same spirit.
Right. So the way that I would describe it is simply a fellowship of churches that believe pretty much the same on doctrine, specifically, though, with fellowship with Pastor Anderson and Pastor Jimenez. But how would you describe the new IFB? I mean, if somebody were to ask you, what does this thing even mean? How would you answer that?
The way I would describe the new IFB is like a Christian network. The way I would describe the new IFB is as a network of like-minded Christians and churches. And the reason I phrase it that way is because there's all kinds of people who share the same beliefs and doctrines and love the same preaching that we do and believe like we do, but they don't necessarily go to a new IFB church. I'm one of those people. I've never been an attendee of a new IFB church, but the reason I've been able to succeed in local churches is because of the influence of the new IFB. So I would, you know, as much as I, you know, anything that I have been able to accomplish is, you know, because of what I've learned in the new IFB. So I would describe it as like a network of Christians who simply, I mean, it's like you said, we share the same core doctrines. Obviously, we believe in salvation by grace through faith alone, and we believe in the King James Bible. If you don't believe those two things, you're not King James, or you're not new IFB. If you believe in repent of your sin salvation, you're not new IFB. We believe in doctrines like, you know, that we have in common, such as we believe in the post-trib rapture. We believe in a post-trib pre-wrath rapture. But besides these doctrinal points, you know, like the reprobate doctrine, which is a theme in the new IFB that is taught a lot from the Bible, you know, what have you. So we believe those doctrines, but we also love soul winning. We emphasize soul winning. We emphasize the King James Bible. We love other like-minded believers. We have a zeal to fight the right fights. That's all it is. It's a network of Christians. It's a network of churches that, by and large, and actually not just, you know, by and large, pretty much all together, you know, it's like you said, you enjoy Pastor Anderson's preaching. You align with Pastor Anderson's preaching. And people are so, and Pastor Jimenez and pastors like him. And people like to, you know, throw shade. And basically, it just makes me wonder, like, why don't you want me to follow a man of God? When people are just so averse to you, you know, following a man of God. I guess we could get into that later. But
sure.
That's how I would describe it, as just a Christian network of people who love soul winning and the King James Bible. And we're right on the pre-trib rapture and Zionism. I mean, that's
pretty much it. I mean, there isn't much organization to it in the sense. It's just a fellowship. And, you know, you could argue for sure started by Pastor Anderson. And that was sort of the Faithful Word was the domino, the first domino to fall. And then you had Verity Baptist Church and all the other ones. But what I was saying earlier, it's interesting. You don't see people who hate Pastor Anderson, but then really love Pastor Shelley, for example. They're always in one group, right? I've never met somebody like that, at least, where they love Pastor.
And if they pretend that they love Pastor Shelley but not Pastor Anderson, it comes out later that, oh, they actually did hate Pastor Shelley and all of them.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly. So that scenario of, you know, somebody hating Pastor Jimenez or Pastor Anderson but liking the other ones, I just haven't seen it. But anyway, I think that's a good way to define it. If you're tuning in and you don't know what this is or what we're talking about tonight, that would be, I think, a decent way to describe this movement. Now, I want to talk about how this has actually impacted us, because the thing is, as laymen, you know, we have been the beneficiaries of the preaching that's come out of this movement. I would not be saved if it weren't for Pastor Anderson. He's the one who got me saved. I watched One Saved, Always Saved, and when he explained the present tense possession of eternal life in John chapter 6, verse 47, that's when I knew that it had to be by faith alone. I was mixed up on works, and I knew that it had to be that once you're saved, you can't ever lose it. And I finished the sermon, and it was just like this light bulb went off. I finally understood the gospel. I got down on my knees in my bedroom, and I asked Jesus to save me right there. If it weren't for the new IFB, I mean, you want to talk about an impact. If it weren't for the movement, quote unquote, and the preaching associated with it, I would be an unsaved loser, wasting my time, sitting around watching TV all day, doing nothing for God. Absolutely nothing. And it wasn't just that I got saved watching Pastor Anderson's preaching, but then he led me to the other pastors, and I started watching their sermons, and it got me fired up for the things of God, and it wanted to make me, you know, it made me want to go out and go soul winning and share the gospel with other people. You know, it gave me that boldness. I could never imagine myself knocking doors and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ door to door. I wouldn't have never done that in the past. But it's because of the preaching that I saw that gave me the boldness to want to go out and do that myself and replicate myself spiritually. And I've heard countless testimonies from other people who have a very similar story, but it made me want to be a soul winner. It made me want to live for Jesus Christ and serve Jesus Christ. It made me want to get plugged into my local independent Baptist church, which I did. It was an old IFB church at first in Jacksonville, Florida. And it gave me this zeal for God that I would not have had I not come across the movement. I watched all the documentaries, and that, you know, made me have a particular passion for doctrine, for right doctrine, for end times Bible prophecy. That's actually something I was interested in for a long time, actually, before I even got saved. But, you know, I got really interested in looking at the intricacies of Bible doctrine and, you know, all the documentaries and the events, the soul winning marathons. You know, this movement got me plugged in to serve Jesus, and I really don't know where I would be without it. I certainly wouldn't be on this live stream right now at all, and I wouldn't have any of my friends. And we'll get to that a little later on, Brother Peter, because after we give our personal testimony of the impact the new IFB has made on our lives, I did want to go into the positive aspects of this movement as well and sort of go into detail on that. What are the positive aspects of this movement? Because again, it is maligned at times unfairly. Now, are there legit criticisms you could give it? Sure. And I'm not against criticisms. I'm not up here saying that anybody who ever criticizes the movement in any way is a bad person. Pastor Jimenez criticized it a few years ago when he talked about how at times there are jerks involved and, you know, people who maybe they end up watching sermons for hours on end right after getting saved and it makes them puffed up. Sure, there are legit criticisms, but there's also some really dumb ones as well. And that's why I felt like this podcast was needful. But yeah, that's how it's impacted my life. It's gotten me plugged into a local church. It got me saved. It got me wanting to serve Christ. It got me wanting to read my Bible cover to cover for the first time. And I've done that several times since then. It's got me to want to memorize scripture. I mean, I'm telling you, it's really been a game changer for me. Peter, why don't you go ahead and talk about how it's impacted you?
Well, it's impacted me eternally. And this is why I don't understand why people miss the boat on the new IFB, or they get flustered or angry and leave the movement, or they attack the movement. Basically, I was as lost as you could be. I was 21 years old. I was destroying my life because of my sinful nature. And one day, you know, as simple as it could be, I came across a gospel presentation video on YouTube that was titled "The Bible Way to Heaven." That when it got deleted, you know, it has like 750,000 views before it probably disappeared from the Sanderson 1611 channel. So I saw a simple plan of salvation, and I believed it right away. I heard the gospel and I believed it right away, and that's because it was made clear to me. And that's why another hallmark of the new IFB is that we believe in making salvation clear, crystal clear. And that's actually why we don't take kindly to repent of your sins, false teachers, and that kind of thing. So I got saved, but not only did I get saved, because say a soul winner knocked on my door and got me saved, that would have been great. But the new IFB, Pastor Anderson, and the Ministry of Faithful Word Baptist Church, and Pastor Jimenez, and preachers like him, they expedited my Christian growth more than I can imagine would have happened otherwise.
Good way to put it.
So basically, I get saved. And now you're listening to all this preaching. I'm listening to all this preaching. One of the first sermons I hear is the truth about the Sodomites. I'm listening to Once Saved, Always Saved. I'm learning this doctrine. I learn immediately what the right Bible is. I learn immediately the right kind of church to get into. I am immediately exhorted to get into church, which I did right away. Then I'm told I need to go soul winning, which I did right away. I'm told I need to get baptized, which I was, by Pastor Jimenez. So shout out to Verity Baptist Church, Pastor Jimenez, and everyone out there. I was taught simply by searching on YouTube and sitting and watching videos how to be a soul winner. So since that day in April of 2014, when I got saved hearing Pastor Anderson, I was taught to go soul winning, and since then, I've led hundreds of people to Christ. Praise God. So what I want to do is, in this stream, is like brag on God by bragging on the new IFB. Because here's the thing. Have you ever, if you read the book of Acts, read the Gospels, and then read the book of Acts after Christ ascends into heaven. Look at all these great works, the bold preaching, the powerful acts that are being done in the book of Acts. Well, I got saved. I have the Holy Spirit now. I'm reading the Bible. I'm like, this Spirit is in the world. The Holy Spirit is in the world, is with Christians. So where are these works being done? Well, you look around, and lo and behold, it's by the same people that won me to Christ, that won you to Christ. It's the works are being done in what we've coined the new IFB, which is basically... So how did it come about, the new IFB? Well, basically, because Pastor Anderson put his preaching out there and then went and did soul winning marathons all over the country. So I get saved. I'm going to soul winning marathons. I'm going to Boston to go soul winning. I'm going to Atlanta to go soul winning. I'm going to Washington, D.C. to go soul winning. And basically, you know, say I was just like most people are led to Christ. They're led to Christ and then just kind of, you know, like they kind of walk along. You know, you learn what you learn, and God works in people's lives at different rates. But the thing about the new IFB is that it expedited my growth, and it continues to expedite my growth. And here's why haters can't faze people like us, or even cause us to turn to the right hand or the left, or to even wink. Because why would we turn on something and on people who have changed our lives for the better in ways that can't be put into words? So why would I turn on somebody, or why would I hate on somebody, or why would I criticize somebody? you know, so criticize the spirit of somebody or, you know, separate from somebody whose influence on my life is only positive.
Yes.
And has only contributed to me getting closer to God, having my own walk with God, teaching me to have my own walk with God. And by the way, that's why, you know, people don't like the enemies of the new IB when you have your own walk with God. Because what they want, what they're hoping is that your faith and trust is only in Pastor Anderson. That you're just some sycophant like their sycophants. And that you're just some fanatic. And that your eyes are on a man. For whatever reason, your eyes are only on a man. And you're not, you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And you don't love your brothers in Christ. They don't like when you are simply, you're not fazed by what they are fazed by. You know, so I'm too busy, you know, trying to walk with God and do my own works with God and build God's house with him that I don't really care there about, you know, if they want to attack Pastor Anderson because, you know, they think he should have made a video about masks, condemning the mask wearing and stuff like that, because, and they don't understand it, but they should understand it, because don't you see how off balance that is? It's like, this guy won me to Christ. This guy changed my life with his preaching of the Word of God and helped me to be able to stand on my own two feet and go out and do the same thing that he's doing in Arizona. I can do that over here on a smaller scale, of course, not as a pastor, just as a layman in a local church. I can take all those things and I can put them to good use. And I could take these talents, the things that I've been given, and use them. And I think it's pretty dangerous if you're like around the new IFB and you don't use what you learned. That's basically not using what you have been given, and the things you've learned is a good way to just be discarded and to just basically be a castaway. So they hear, so that's why there's such a disconnect. It's like, so you want me to turn on Pastor Anderson and Jimenez because you don't like how they handled COVID, for example, or however you think they should have handled it. But it's, you just missed the boat on the fact that these, one, Pastor Anderson won me to Christ, and the other baptized me, and they've been nothing but kind and good to me and to my friends. And I'm sick of people attacking our friends and the people that we respect, the preachers and the teachers that we respect, because I know that the things that they teach me are good. I would not, why would I choose good? Why would I choose them or their petty contentions?
Right.
Why would I choose that over like good Bible doctrine? So basically people are attacking, like, oh, Pastor Anderson, he's this, he's that, the new IFB. Oh, these new IFB single lynch mobs on Facebook. So, and basically, so that's all going on, all this chatter. And then I turn on the live stream on Sundays, you know, after church. Because of the time difference, I listen to Faithful Word Baptist sermon. And I'm just learning, hey, look, another good sermon. Hey, look, more good Bible doctrine. Hey, look, another life-changing truth. Hey, another thing that I could apply right away, and another thing that's edifying. So, yeah, since I'm not, I guess, you know, a complete brain-dead vegetable, for that reason, I'm going to stick with the new IFB and Pastor Anderson and Soul Winners and Pastor Jimenez and Pastor Bruce Mejia and people like him. And I'm going to enjoy it and bless them and be blessed by it. And they don't like it when they can't change your mind about these things. So they get flustered.
All right. Well, I'm going to read some testimonies that came in from the chat room. I wanted to get them involved as well, because the chat room tonight consists of a whole bunch of people who've also had their lives impacted by this movement. I'm going to try and do this as quickly as possible. We have Sheila Jackson. She said, my whole life changed when I found Pastor Anderson and went to the Portland Soul Winning Marathon. I can't even believe a good friend of mine that went to that marathon turned on him because of Boyle. Well, there you go. We're naming the names tonight. BM Lake. In 2017, I believe, Steadfast did a soul winning event in Pensacola, Florida. That's when I was first introduced. That's when I was introduced to soul winning in person. B. Hersey. He says, NIFB relit the fire in me. Not seen since the 70s. KJV Baptist says, I grew up in a lame Calvinist church. I always thought church was boring and lame. Then I heard PSA. He got me saved and hooked on the preaching. 3 years later, I'm moving to SFBC North. That's Sure Foundation Baptist Church. North this fall. Matthew Garrett says, I was constantly searching for truth, listening to John MacArthur, Rick Warren, etc. But it wasn't until I watched PSA ranting against repent of your sins for salvation did I get saved. Dylan KJV, I got saved from Pastor Anderson's preaching and learned most of what I know about the Bible from his and other NIFB pastors' sermons. I'm eternally thankful for the NIFB. Kimmy G says, I got saved by Pastor Jimenez's sister in 2009. I was saved out of Pentecostal beliefs. Hearing about eternal security made complete sense. I had been carried every day. I had been scared every day of losing my salvation. Dawes, 1611 KJV. This is Dylan Oz. I got saved, baptized, and married by Pastor Jimenez. I grew in the Lord greatly by the preaching of him and Pastor Anderson. I got many opportunities to serve and learn how to preach at SFBC. Now I attend Steadfast Baptist Church. I wouldn't be saved or serving God without the new IFB. Pastor Jimenez, Anderson, Shelley, and Jones have personally impacted my life greatly. I don't know where I'd be without these dedicated men. Testimony after testimony coming in from the chat room. And if I wanted to, I'm sure I could spend the entire hour or even an hour and a half or even 2 hours just reading these over and over again from people who've been positively impacted by the new IFB. You say, why is this a movement that you support so badly? Not because of what it's done, not only because of what it's done for me, and by extension, my wife, by the way, who also wouldn't be saved if it weren't for me finding this preaching, but also look at what it's done for all these different people. Countless testimonies of people talking about how they got saved because of the preaching from this movement, how they started going soul winning. We even have a testimony of an individual, Dylan Oz, who says he learned how to preach when he attended SFBC, and now he's preaching regularly. In fact, he's a pretty darn good preacher and my friend. I've met a lot of great people who've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and you know, are serving him and have gotten plugged into local churches because of this movement. And let me just tell you something right now. I, at one point, actually this has happened to me multiple times, have been faced with people who wanted me to turn on the movement. They wanted me to turn on Pastor Anderson. They wanted me to turn on Pastor Jimenez and all these other pastors as well. And I'll go ahead and just say it. The Friday night secret the private meeting that we had at Steadfast Jacksonville when Adam Fannin, that rat piece of filth scumbag, stood up behind his pulpit and lied to us and made it appear as if we were going to, you know, that he had control of the building and that the only choice we had was to separate from the Fort Worth congregation. And he starts waving around his debit card unsolicited, talking about how he never did anything wrong financially. Really, really weird, by the way. But at this meeting, I had a whole bunch of people surrounding me and talking about how the new IFB is gone in a bad direction now, and we need to separate from them, and you know we have to go to war with the new IFB, and Pastor Anderson's wicked, and they're splitting our church, and it's all because of a conflict that was started by Fannin and his cronies. And I said at the time, I'm not doing it. And you know what they said about me afterward? They called me all the names that you could possibly think of in the book. Oh, you're just a sycophant and you know, all this other stuff. It's funny because when I attack the false prophets and people who deserve to be criticized, then they say I'm hateful and I lack love. But then when I show love to people who actually, you know, warrant it, and respect unto people that actually warrant it, then all of a sudden I'm a sycophant. It's like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. But my point is this. It's happened many times in my life where people have tried to get me to turn on this movement. It's never going to happen. Look at all these testimonies. Look at all the great people who've gotten saved and plugged in because of the preaching of this movement. You are insane if you think that it's going to take just simply demanding that I turn on this movement for me to do it. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. And for those of you who've done that, we've got a special message for you coming later on in the live stream, okay? For those people who think that it's okay to use and abuse the pastors of the new IFB and just discard them when you're done, you know, we've got something for you later, okay? We have a special segment of this podcast coming later. And let me just say this. If you like Michael Johnson, if you're a Michael Johnson sympathizer, you might as well just turn off the live stream right now. Just turn it off, because that guy is a piece of garbage, and I have something for him later. But anyway, I didn't mean to get too fired up there, but Peter, it just, think about this. They have wanted you, you've told me the stories, and me to turn on this movement so badly, because for them, I think that these are despisers of those that are good, and they would love nothing more than to see this thing dismantled. I see the troll comments sometimes, and you know, people are lying, of course, because the churches in this movement are thriving and doing great. But you know, they'll sit there and say, oh, the new IFB is crumbling. And they're rejoicing. They're rejoicing at the prospect of a soul-winning movement dying. Do they hate God? I mean, it's ridiculous. Which it's not dying, by the way.
Yeah, even though it's not crumbling. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that all things work together for good to those that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Because that's one another thing that I've learned and come to understand by complete faith in the Bible. Because, you know, personally, I kind of like when these splits happen. You know, I'm not saying I like when a church splits happen. Like, I don't go to Faith Forward Baptist Church, for example. I don't want there to, I don't have a desire for there to be any division and stuff at that church. But basically, when it comes to like the movement as a whole, meaning like our network, meaning our friends, I like when the splits happen, because Jesus said, first of all things work together for good if you love God and if you're saved. But Jesus said he came to bring a sword. He said he came to bring division. And he talks about, you know, purging Christians so they can grow and they can bear more fruit. But, you know, I just believe God is in the business of purging. God is just in the business of cleaning things up and tearing things down so he can build up something else. And you know what? I've been around this movement for 7 years now, almost 7 years. And from what I've seen, when these splits happen and all these, you know, like, you know, you have, you know, I too have been recruited to Trash Can Baptist several times over the last few years. You know, I have a lot of recruiters who would like me to go the way of the Trash Can Baptist, but I won't do that because of the impact that it's had in my life, the new IFB. And I lost my train of thought completely. Tell me what we're talking about again, Ben.
Don't worry. Hey, that's why I'm here, Peter. If that ever happens, you just let me know, and I'll get this thing back on track.
I lost my train of thought. Maybe that was the end of my thought.
There you go. That's the end. Sometimes you don't need to come up with any fancy ending. You just got to say, I am done talking, and we'll move on. I want to touch on these components of the new IFB. Now, look, we could be here all night, all right, talking about this. But this specifically, the preaching, the zeal, the emphasis on soul winning, the hatred for sin, and the fellowship. And then we're going to move on to the spicier portion of the podcast. The preaching, first of all, is one I want to start with. Bible says in Isaiah 40, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. And that's what the pastors do regularly with respect to the preaching, is they lift up their voice with strength. It's not weak. It's not compromising. I love the preaching on the fags. That's actually one of the, I forgot to mention this earlier, but one of the things that really got me involved is just the fact that all of a sudden I'm looking at these pastors that are not holding back, you know, in a world that's becoming increasingly more politically correct and sanitized. You have these pastors thundering forth the word of God and the truth. So the hard preaching, the fact that You know, they don't hold back, not compromising, not a bunch of skinny jeans, limp-wristed effeminates. But beyond that, it's not just the hard preaching. It's not just the preaching on the fags and against feminism and things like that. But how about the meatier sermons where you're learning about types of Jesus in the Old Testament, for example, or end times Bible prophecy, or the meat of the word, things like that you're not going to get in other churches. So to me, the preaching is what makes this movement so special. The Bible preaching, the sound Bible preaching is what makes this movement so special. And by the way, one thing I wanted to add, a caveat to all this. Obviously, you can serve God outside the new IFB just fine and abound spiritually outside the new IFB. The new IFB is not the only place where you can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the only place where you can earn rewards in heaven and go soul winning and hear some fire-breathing preaching. For the naysayers out there, I don't believe that. But yes, the preaching. What do you think about the preaching?
The preaching is everything. The preaching is great. God has manifested his word through preaching. And the Bible talks about making, you know, he tells Habakkuk, you know, make the vision plain, you know, write it on a table that he may run that readeth it. The Bible talks about speaking with a clear voice, you know, making things easily understood when it comes to the doctrine of God. Like, you know, in the Old Testament, we, you know, they saw through a glass darkly. In the New Testament, I was listening to a lot of the New Testament on audio today. So I forget which book. It's either Hebrews or Romans, I believe. But basically, you know, he was just, and I'm not going to quote the Bible because I can't think of the exact quote, but he's saying how, you know, basically in the New Testament now, we see things clearly. I mean, God is just plainly laying things out for us systematically, systematic doctrine, so we can just, look, this is who God is. This is Jesus Christ. This is the truth. By grace are you saved through faith. Just let me make sure you know how to be saved. Let me make sure you know that, yes, hell is fire, it's eternal, et cetera, et cetera. But that's why I love it. It was, the preaching was made clear and it was easily understood. And, you know, the Bible says we know we're the children of God because of the Spirit he's given us. And you know what? I just line up with the Spirit. I have the same Spirit, you know, and people think, people will say, like, you're just, what are you, some cult follower? Like Pastor Anderson? You just want to be Pastor Anderson. You just want to lift yourself up. That's probably what they want. That's why they accuse you of that.
Projection.
But the thing is, it's what you're a fleshly person. So that's why you only see the flesh. But what you're actually seeing is a common spirit. What you're actually seeing is unity.
Right.
What you're actually seeing is God's people rallying around the Bible. And, you know, God doesn't take kindly to people attacking his people. It doesn't matter who you are, because it doesn't matter if you're Saul, because you're going to be judged for that. If you are, you know, what was that wicked guy's name who was teamed up with Paul? What was that wicked guy's name? Was Saul.
But Doeg anyway, the Edomite?
Yeah. Yeah. And he was like, slaying all these people for Saul, right? Slaying the priests of the Lord, like slaying God's people. You know, God is going to judge you for that because God loves his people and God protects his people. And also God loves the new IFB because when you attack the new IFB, like, what do you think you're just attacking? Some moniker? You're attacking the people. It's like how we say it's not the building, it's the people, right? Okay, well, when you want to just attack the new IFB, you're attacking the people. You're attacking people who have ministered to me the Word of God. You're attacking me, and you're attacking my friends who are my brothers in Christ, and they're God's people. But when it comes to the preaching, it was the first Baptist preaching I really heard, and I'm like, this is the kind of preaching I need, and that's the kind of preaching I had sought out since then. So, and that's the kind of preaching I still like, and that's how I preach, and that's how I was taught to preach. So the benefits of the new IFB for a Christian, if you want to get plugged in, they're just like, exponential benefits. I could talk about Kimmy was giving her testimony. One of my best friends has the same testimony. He goes to an old IFB church over here. He's a great guy. He was a Pentecostal. He said the same thing. He was just terrified of losing his salvation all the time. And he would have like severe anxiety over it. And could you imagine being a Pentecostal and like just thinking you're going to lose your salvation? That's just bondage. That's hard.
Right.
That's like worse than being like a Jew trying to be saved by the law or something. So basically he heard once saved, always saved. This burden was lifted. He's in church. He became a soul winner. You could give thousands and thousands of testimonies like that. And it's because of the clear preaching. So and you talked about, you know, like Pastor Jimenez, how, well, you know, he criticized the new IFB. Here's the thing, though, about, you know, say when if Pastor Anderson or Pastor Jimenez or Pastor Thompson, shout out to Pastor Thompson, Sure Foundation Baptist Church. That's another great group of people out there in Washington, right?
Yep.
I always forget if it's Oregon or Washington. But
Vancouver, Washington.
Vancouver, Washington. Yeah, that's right. So it's not Portland. So they're not in Portland, Oregon. I don't know why I confuse those two states. But so those are the preachers that I like because they preach how I was taught preaching. The first preaching that I heard, and that's the kind of preaching I see in the Bible. So basically, I'm just walking in that same spirit that I got saved in. And, you know, I don't want to forsake it, you know, to fight over some mask and to, you know, I'd rather be in church on Wednesday night than, you know, streaming about Corona and masks.
The mask of the beast.
The mask.
If you take the mask, you are reprobate. Hey, they say that we reprobate everybody. I didn't know reprobate was a verb now, but that'll be something I want to touch on a little later on, that we call everybody a reprobate, evidently. Everybody's a reprobate. You're a reprobate. It's like that Oprah meme. You ever see that? You're a reprobate. You're a reprobate. Everybody gets to be a reprobate. Okay, I want to get through this list here. The zeal. Bible says in Titus 2, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This is why we've been purified, so that we could be zealous of good works. What was the catalyst for me personally to increase in that zeal? I'm not saying I have not made it. I have not reached the level I'd like to be. But why has it increased for me? Well, it's because of the new IFB. Why has it increased for so many other people as well? Why are there so many people right now that I could point to? I could just literally put a blindfold on and go on my cell phone's contacts list and just randomly scroll and then stop. And I will stop at an individual who has a zeal for God. Why? Because of this movement. Because they go to a church where they're being edified, where they're being fed with God's manna. But the zeal associated with the movement, the zeal associated with the churches, like Faithful Word and Steadfast, and also shout out to First Works. All right, there we go. I got the t-shirt on. First Works Baptist Church, Pastor Bruce Mejia and friends over there. If you're in the LA area, make sure you check that church out. But, you know, Mountain Baptist Church and other churches, the zeal that the people have that go to these churches, you notice it when you go to conferences and you get to meet everybody all in the same place. It's infectious. The Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 10, provoking one another unto love and good works. I've been provoked by the zeal of others. And it's so important, that fellowship and that infectious zeal is so important. And I've witnessed that myself. When you hang out with people and they want to talk about the things of God and they want to talk about doctrines and they want to talk about, you know, how certain things, the Old Testament, you know, making connections to a picture of Jesus Christ and making connections elsewhere in the New Testament and showing you some cool nuggets and talking about current events, even not just necessarily 100% Bible all the time, but just life in general, and having meaningful conversations that you're not going to get from people who are worldly. That's what I've experienced having met so many people in this movement who I would consider to have a ton of zeal. What do you think, Peter, about the zeal that you see attached to this movement? The people who have a zeal for God, the people who have a zeal for soul winning, the people who have a zeal for the King James Bible, and that's something we didn't even talk about. I became King James only because of the new IFB, as have so many other people, courtesy of Paul Wittenberger and Pastor Anderson teaming up and making their documentary New World Order Bible Versions. I mean, the list goes on and on, folks, but Peter, your thoughts on the zeal of the new IFB and the people you've met in this movement?
Yeah, the zeal. That's another great hallmark of new IFB Christianity, is just the zeal of the people who are really plugged in. And I remember, look, when I got saved, like, I'm new IFB now. You know, I knew that, like, you know, this guy, Pastor Anderson, you know, he's my guy. I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to listen to his friends. And I caught that zeal, you know, and I was without a lot of knowledge. And this is what a lot of new IFB people get attacked for. And, you know, the new IFB single guy lynch mob and stuff. You know, stop attacking new IFB single guys, because you know full well that the new IFB is made up of single guys. So you know what I hear? Like, oh, these new IFB single guys. That's just code word for I hate the new IFB, because it's just it is young, zealous single guys by and large. And of course, a lot of us, you know, we got zealous. It's just part of the fight. It's part of the walk. You know, that sometimes maybe you fight for God in the flesh. You know, maybe you were a little brash with your words. Maybe you did preach Christ of contention once or twice or more or whatever, because you're a babe and you're learning. But those are lumps you take because of the ultimate spirit and benefits and the right way that it's teaching you, you know. Basically, another reason I love Pastor Anderson's preaching is because he taught me that it's okay to love the Bible and to be zealous, and it's okay to believe these things. And not only is it okay, not only is it right, but we're going to preach it. We're going to teach it. It's right to teach it. God said to teach it. It's in the Bible for a reason. And I was thinking about this aspect of our movement, the zeal of our movement, because that's what I was thinking about yesterday or today while I was working. I was thinking, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And I was thinking of Christ's zeal. And I'm thinking about the house of God, and I'm thinking about church. And I'm just thinking, you know, it just disgusts me that, like, people want to go into my friends' churches, and then they're causing all this division and whatnot, and then act as if the pastors who throw them out or call them out, that they're somehow wrong. Because what they want to do is just wimpify the new IFB. They just want to make the new IFB like them. They want to make it in their own image, and they throw tantrums when they can't, you know, when they can't move the movement in the direction that they want. But I'm so glad that I caught the zeal that I did. I remember when I first started going to church, I was just so surprised that, like, I would want to go talk about the Bible with everybody. And no one there was really that interested in that. You know, you couldn't just find your just average church member who was talking about the Bible after the service, or zealous about soul winning, or you know, their topic of conversation isn't football. It is soul winning. It is the King James Bible. It is why we hate false prophets and the doctrine there, the false doctrine they're teaching, why we hate it and why we should shun it and teach people in the church to stay away from it. But those are the kind of conversations that I always have with my new IFB friends. I mean, I've spent a lot of time just on the phone with my friends from the new IFB, especially in the early years, just talking about the Bible, just talking about doctrine, just talking about cool Bible characters and how cool the Bible is, and how, you know, wow, you know, it's cool to be a Christian, and it's cool to believe the Bible and to practice it. And everything the Bible says is true, and you could sink your teeth into it. And if you do these things, if you delight in the Lord, if you apply yourself to his ways, he'll give you the desires of your hearts. That's what you learn. You get a little zeal. You learn to love the Bible, and you learn these things, and you learn to walk with God. That's why Pastor Anderson is a valuable, valuable, valuable human being. Pastor Anderson is very important to a lot of people. And when we don't want to turn on him, quite frankly. So
the emphasis on soul winning, we already covered this a little bit. Bible says in Acts chapter 5, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let's spend less time on this one because we already touched on it earlier when we talked about our personal testimonies and how we started going soul winning because of this movement. But the mega marathons and the other marathons that go on courtesy of the churches that are, quote, new IFB, it's great. There's nothing else I could tell you. This fellowship is reaching people with the gospel.
Yes, you said the soul winning, right, Ben?
Yes.
Remember, I said I'm having a little hard time hearing you with the volume.
That's okay.
We're talking about the soul winning.
The soul winning, right.
Yeah, that's another, like, that's just hallmark of the new IFB.
Yeah.
So just, like, really zealous soul winners, and everybody knows it. Like, so old IFB pastors know that, like, hey, if these Pastor Anderson guys come to your church, you know, you're going to have some soul winners. They know that. That's a good testimony. That's not a bad testimony.
Absolutely.
And people who are sincere... You know, people act like, you know, they accuse us like these guys go into all these churches and they ruin the churches and they're trying to steal the, you know, they're trying to lead the flock astray and all this. So, you know, how many old IFB pastors will, who are sincere, who are right, you know, several of whom have pastored me will tell you like, oh, yeah, you know, I don't, I'm not like an Anderson follower, but I love Pastor Anderson and there's our soul winners here because of him, and there are good church members here because of him. I've had pastors tell me that. I've had my old pastor tell me that, and I know what my relationship was with my pastor and my pastor now, and when it, you know, in relation to the new IFB. So you know what? Ultimately, the new IFB blesses God's work and God's people, and it's not like we're doing all this cause of this damage to the cause of Christ, because we can't do anything against the truth, before the truth. But everything, if you love God, it's going to work together good for you. And that's what that's what I've seen. That's what I've seen in churches, the old IFB churches, who they might be like, oh man, I heard about these Anderson guys. And look, it is true. Like, look, it's true that as soon as a Pastor Anderson follower walks into the door of a church, I can almost always identify him. Don't ask me why, but it's not just me. It's also, you know, my old pastor used to tell me the same thing. Like, and I kind of know what he means. But ultimately, if that person loves God, and if that church loves God, the pastor loves God, whatever happens is going to work together for good. And I know that any new IFB, the new IFB people I love and fellowship with, they bless their churches. You know, they organize soul winning and ministries at their churches, because the spirit of the new IFB, the real spirit that has seen all these people saved and done all this great preaching, it's the spirit of God that's in the book of Acts. And if you don't know that, you don't know the Bible. And if you don't see that, I wonder why you don't identify the spirit of God, and why you don't, you know, love your fellow brethren. Like, why do you have so little grace? Look, I would rather be friends with some new IFB jerk who maybe lashes out at some strangers on Facebook sometimes, you know, in an ill-advised way. And I'm not, like, condoning that. Then hang out with some bitter, backbiting, double-minded, you know, hater who isn't doing as much for God and who doesn't love the Bible that much. And, you know, whether you like it or not, a lot of these guys that are criticized, and a lot of the new IFB people and women that are criticized, they're criticized because they love God. You know, they voice their opinion, they tell the truth, and they're attacked for it. and like Luke and Angel Vincent were over in Verity Baptist Church, who are like they're just such a nice family, and they're just always friendly. They're soul winning. They're faithful. Their pastor has great things to say about them. And then, you know, and Luke, you know, this godly Christian basically comes out and, you know, he says that, hey, Stacy Shiflett, who's been in the news, you know, standing up against COVID, you know, with 12 American flags on the platform, you know, he's preaching repent of your sins, salvation. Did you guys see this? Like, basically, there's this preacher we've caught wind of, Stacy Shiflett, and who we know of, and his books are being sold on Framing the World, and he's, you know, he's just like in our news feeds and stuff, because pastors are fellowshipping with him, and they have mutual friends. Well, he gets up and is preaching repent of your sins, and it just, and then one of our friends says like, hey, there's something wrong here. Look, this guy's preaching repent of your sins. It's Stacy Shiflett, you know, something we've been doing for years. Something that's the MO of the new IFB. And then basically, you know, Tommy McMurtry is coming out and, you know, attacking Luke, you know, and standing up for Stacy Shiflett, and so ready to like attack our friends and defend people who we've already learned they're teaching false doctrine and that they're adding works to salvation. And I mean, I'm listening to the book of Galatians today too. It's like what Paul says, not to give them no place of subjection, not for an hour. And Paul was really clear on his opinion on that. I mean, he didn't say that everyone who was believing, you know, getting caught up in works was unsaved there, but he did question their salvation. But so I think some people need to just either get on board, decide who they're friends with. Like another thing with Tommy McMurtry, always like defending, like he wants to yoke up with Keith Gomez, but he'll defend Keith Gomez, a guy who teaches lordship salvation and hyper dispensationalism. But he'll never defend us, but he'll attack the new IFB, but he'll basically, attack all the single new IFB guys. And, you know, then like, you know, basically, from my understanding is even some preachers talked to him like, hey, what's, you know, is everything okay? He's like, oh yeah, everything's okay. You know, it's fine. Oh, actually, you know, I'm sorry if I said anything wrong. But then he's just attacking us again, like more new IFB rants. And here's the difference between, I remember where I lost my train of thought before. So
about Pastor Jimenez,
for example, is preaching a sermon, you know, trying to correct a bad attitude in the church or in the new IFB. You know, I see Pastor Jimenez. I know his spirit. I'm like, he loves us. He loves the truth. He's correcting us and teaching us. Sorry, I don't get that impression from Tommy McMurtry. I get the impression that he's spiteful and hateful towards us. And, you know, this is no secret. I'm saying his name because everybody knows it. Everybody's been saying it. Let's not pretend like, you know, like, oh, you said his name, because first of all, everything he says is public. He yokes up with all these people in public, and then he wants to attack us. So everybody sees it. So we might as well just say it. It's like, are you our friend or not? Do you have love for us or not? Like, are you on the same wave as us or not? And it's like, if not, let's just go our separate ways. But you know, I approached him about this in private too. And, you know, he's not repentant in his attacks toward us. So I'm just here to say, hey, we don't appreciate it. Because when you're attacking the new IFB, you're attacking me. I take it personally. And when you attack my friends, I take it personally. And when you attack good church members over in FWBCLA or Faithful Word Baptist Church, or Sure Foundation Baptist Church, I don't like it, because those are my people and those are God's people. And I wish that you would love the people of God more. and I wish that you would love them where they're at more. And I am wondering why it seems like this viciousness is so ready to just seep out. Like I said, it's a different spirit between Pastor Jimenez, for example, and then somebody, the criticisms that I've seen from Pastor Tommy McMurtry. The criticisms of us from Pastor Tommy McMurtry seem hateful. They don't seem like they come from a place of edification and goodwill. It seems bitter, and people are over it, frankly. And we don't care anymore, because all it does is all the attacks do is like zeal us up more and get us more excited and make us love each other more and make us want to do more works. So, we could keep going. I'll give it to you, Ben.
Well, folks, he's naming the names. You know, I guess since he named the name, I'll go along with that. I did talk to him. We had like a brief text exchange earlier today, very brief. And I love Pastor McMurtry. He's been on the program before.
Hey, Ben, just for the record, I do too. And I loved him from the moment I met him, and I still love him. And I want the best for him, but I want him to not be double-minded and attack us. I want him to attack the right people and not attack us.
Yeah, I see why you would say that. And the thing is with him is, I mean, look, if he decides now after this live stream that he hates me or doesn't want anything to do with me, that's fine. I still love him. I still love Pastor McMurtry. I'd like to see. Here's the thing. I believe once this COVID thing dies down, maybe that will relieve a little bit of the contention. I don't know. But it seems like people have been split off into their own camps on COVID-19, which is so silly, in my opinion. It's so silly for me to even say that. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not assessing it right. But it just seems that way, that people have their own little camps on COVID. And that COVID doctrine has been elevated to such a degree that perhaps it is playing a role in people yoking up with those who would hate Pastor Anderson and things like that, because they agree on the COVID doctrine, right? Which I have now dubbed it the COVID doctrine. That's what I'm calling it now. You know, there's different COVID doctrines out there. I have zero doctrines on COVID. You know, it's just not something that I'm super passionate about. But you know, other people are. Maybe that's the deal. And after this thing dies down, you'll see a little less contention. I don't know. But I think, you know, I can see why people would be disgruntled.
Well, I wouldn't count on it, Ben, because it's not just COVID that flared up all these tensions. It was basically in the depths of their heart lurking. So if it's not this, it's something else. But yeah, it's like, it's, you know, these new IFB, you know, these new IFB guys, they come, they're from the old IFB, and then they come in here, and it's like, it's almost like some people, it's not, you know, they replaced Zionism with like Americanism. They replaced Zionism with American pianism. So it's like, they know that Zionism is false. But like they act like, oh, okay, well, America and the Constitution—that's what's holy now. That's chosen Israel or something, and they exalt, like, you know what? If Babylon just burst into flames and the Constitution was just, you know, disintegrated and we were, you know, had some other nation ruling over us, that's not out of the question. But you know what? I'm not going down with the American ship. I'm trying to, you know, what does the Bible say? The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. It's like, I'm just above all that. That's why I don't want to deal with I don't care about the COVID mask thing anymore, because the Bible doesn't emphasize that to me. The Bible doesn't emphasize the Constitution. The Bible doesn't tell me that, you know, to yoke up with preachers just because they're defending the Constitution, even though they're preaching work salvation, even though they're preaching the works of the law for salvation, which is something the New Testament is so clear about. and something that the new IFB has been so clear about for years that they don't put up with. Oh, but then basically when you start to not put up with it, they're like, oh, you're just attacking, you know, I can't be friends with anybody. And I'm not just trying to get on Tommy McMurtry, because, you know, Pastor Boyle is worse, as far as I know.
I agree.
Patrick Boyle, I don't like the way these people are treating our friends. Patrick Boyle, you know, Tommy McMurtry and Patrick Boyle, you know, I met them at a prophecy conference. I was in their soul winning group. I went soul winning with Pastor Boyle. The last thing I want to do is like separate from Christians but I've learned, God has taught me, it doesn't grieve me as much anymore, because some separation is good. And from how I hear Pastor Boyle treated my friends down there and all the good people down there, the way he lied to Pastor Shelley, who was a great guy, and my friend, somebody who's been a friend to me, I reach out to him, he becomes my friend. You know, I was with Pastor Shelley in Jamaica on a missions trip. You know, it's just, I remember thinking like, wow, you know, he's really humble and he's just a really nice guy. And I remembered before I had met Pastor Shelley, you know, some of these trash can oneness people, I remember they were trying to poison me against Pastor Shelley. Just, they were going to church with him. And they were telling me this stuff about Pastor Shelley. And then I basically met him and I realized like, oh, wow, it's all lies what they say. It's all just like hatred. It's all just envy or something, because this guy's the exact opposite of what people said. And, you know, if Pastor Shelley's out there, there weren't just like all these people attacking him or something. It was like two idiots. So I don't like when they attack our friends like Pastor Boyle. You know, I heard he treated, you know, my good friend Jersey Joe like horribly down there. This guy Joe loves the Lord, and just wants to follow God. Has a great family. You know, he's down there for church, and then, you know, he just asks some questions because all of a sudden Boyle comes in and all these things are changing, and he's bringing Adam Fannin in and he's teaching, you know, like this Ruckman doctrine, and basically. He's treating my friends badly. He's treating, other friends. Sorry if I named your name, Joe, but other friends, I've heard he treated the same way that went to that church. He basically, Boyle lies to Pastor Shelley, tells him, I'm not going to have anything to do with Adam Fannin. And then Adam Fannin shows up and is praying, you know, praying for the service. It's just, it should be so off to people. Like if people... It's, you got to understand, the devil is more subtle than any beast of the field. So that's why you don't get it when, like, you think it's just like, oh, man, it's just some petty backbiting. You know, oh, they just don't agree in secret. No, that's not what it is. That it's passive aggressive. It's basically in secret, lying in wait for people and trying to do things in secret. Like, we'll just have this stream online. These people, like, make anonymous accounts. Even pastors have been caught making anonymous accounts. These
Michael
people,
Johnson.
They talk and they watch. And the Bible says, you know, basically the wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. That's basically what they do. And so while they're trying to accomplish their goals, they do it subtly behind the scenes. And then they lie to your face. And you know, I don't like, if I hear that people are stabbing the guy that won me to Christ in the back, I don't like it. If people are, trying to hurt my church friends, trying to make them stumble, trying to put a stumbling block before them, I don't like that. It's wrong. It's sinful. It's wicked. So people need to understand this isn't just a difference of opinion. Stabbing pastors in the back and railing on pastors, receiving railing accusations against pastors, and all that garbage, it's wicked, and it just needs to stop. And if somebody is calling you on the phone trying to turn you against your pastor, or like even talking all this smack about his pastor, just tell the pastor, because I have too much respect for men of God, especially men that ministered to me the word of God and got me saved, to just like just sit there and give ear to some idiot.
Well,
who hates him.
I think that applies for not just pastors, but any of my friends. You know, obviously pastors are worthy of double honor. If you're going to talk smack about my pastor, you can go jump in a lake. It applies to all my friends, too. And I don't want to be around people who are going to backstab and backbite and gossip against my friends. And what you said about the way that Patrick Boyle had treated Jersey Joe, or Jacksonville Joe, that's how I've always known him, it's true. I'll be the second witness. I mean, he was treated horribly. A lot of my friends in Jacksonville were treated horribly. It's why they're all gone now from that church. Except for maybe two or three families that are left from when Pastor Shelley was in charge. It is what it is, I guess, but what you said was not inaccurate. That's for sure. It was not inaccurate. Brother Peter, there's two more things here. I'm just going to lump them together. The hatred for sin, Amos 5:15, it says, hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. I learned how to hate sin more, courtesy of the new IFB. And then the fellowship. I know we already touched on this a little bit, but Psalm 133, it says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The strongest fellowship I've ever experienced with like-minded people was in this movement. Recently went on a men's retreat with Steadfast Baptist Church, and you want to talk about great fellowship. This thing had it all. We were playing different sports and, you know, stayed up late at night talking Bible, talking about other things as well. Lots of great fellowship on that trip. I'm sure the same can be said for those who've gone on some mission trips that different churches helped organize. The fellowship is amazing. The friendships that you end up making with people. I mean, Peter, I think I've only met you maybe once in real life, but most of our relationship has been over the internet. I feel like you're a close friend of mine, though, and I think it's the companionship, but most of all that kinship, if you will, that you have with people who are like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ. It's really something that's unmatched out in the world, that bond that you form with people. You know, Dylan Oz is somebody who moved here just recently, and I already feel like he's a close friend of mine. I met Pastor Thompson's son. He was in town for a little while, and I felt like I had a real close, I felt like close with him too, because he's just a fun guy to hang out with and fellowship with. To me, the fellowship in this movement, for a movement that's routinely lambasted as hateful and lacking charity, lacking love, lacking mercy. The nicest people I've ever met in my life have been people at new IFB churches.
Yeah, me too. Amen. I mean, I don't have saved family, for example. And I don't go to a new IFB church. I go to an old IFB church, and my church is a small church. So I don't have like a big network of friends at my church now, like I did at my last church, for example, or even the church before that. But what I do have, because of the new IFB, is just all kinds of friends. I mean, all kinds of people who just like bless my day on Facebook, for example. It's like, we're talking about God using all things for good. Yeah, we might waste some time on Facebook. Like, I'm probably guilty of that. Okay, I'm definitely guilty of that. But when I'm scrolling my feed, I'm seeing like people show what they learned from the Bible that day. And I'm seeing they're sharing sermons, and we're edifying each other. And then I meet these people in real life, and then we become friends. I met Jersey Joe. Joe is the man.
He's a great guy. And let me interrupt real quick. I want to make it clear, the people in Jacksonville who no longer go to revival, they're serving God at an old IFB church, which, like I said earlier, you could still, obviously, do some great things for God outside of this movement. Okay, so don't twist what we're saying. Peter James, you go to an old IFB church. So they're going to an old IFB church in Jacksonville. They are doing some great things for the Lord there. They're getting souls saved there. They're being used, and they don't have to worry about the stupid gossip and drama that was going on in that other church. So there's a happy ending to to what happened with Brother Joe.
Oh, yeah, definitely, Joe. All things are going to work together for good. Joe's been through a lot, and a lot of those Jacksonville people have been through a lot since they've been down there. Look, God didn't just send you into a trap, that's for sure. God didn't just lead you into a pit. You know, I have faith that you prayed about it. You went out there by faith. Man, it's just rewards. It's just purging. It's just the fiery trial. That's it. It's just all working together for good. It's just That's all right. good. No matter how many snakes show up in Jacksonville, no matter how many people hate you, and how many times you have to find a new church, it's all going to work together for good for those people in Jacksonville. So don't let Patrick Boyle and Adam Fannin discourage you.
Not at all. Not at all. Don't let them win. They're going to win, quote unquote, if you stop doing work for the Lord. All right. Let's get into something else now. I went through my list. I think we've covered why we like this movement, but there's misconceptions about it. People say we reprobate everyone too quickly. I don't know about you, Brother Peter. I have yet to witness this. I have yet to witness this actually occur. And when the accusation is levied toward us that we reprobate people too quickly, my question is, who? Who are you talking about? Are you talking about Tyler Baker, who denies the Trinity? Are you talking about a Judas Iscariot like Adam Fannin? Is that who you're talking about? And people might have different views on Adam Fannin and whether or not he's saved, but that's just one guy. Is that who you're referring to, though? Are you talking about Adam Fannin? Are you talking about Victor Tay? Are you talking about Wesley Tomlinson? Who are you talking about when you say that we reprobate everybody too quickly? Because I have yet to witness that. Also, I don't know about you, Peter, I'm not afraid of anyone calling me a reprobate. If you notice, the people who are attached with that label tend to act like psychopaths. Like, how about this name, Michelle Morgan? She obsesses over all these psychological terms all day, and she accuses the new IFB of gaslighting, and she uses all these terms, you know, to make it appear as if we're the ones who are crazy when she's the psychopath. And the same goes for her husband. They tried to infiltrate Verity Baptist Church. Didn't work out for them. And there's a troll channel as well. I'm not going to give you the name of it, but it's run by Hardcore Work Salvation Calvinists. They're psychopaths. But my point is this. People who act mentally ill, they tend to be assigned with the label of reprobate. So if you're worried about not being called a reprobate, here's something really easy that you can do. Don't act like you're insane. Don't act like a psychopath. And if it doesn't look like a duck or quack like a duck, you don't have to worry about anybody calling you a duck then. No one's ever accused me inside, people outside the movement have, okay? The haters, but no one actually in the movement has ever told me or accused me of being a reprobate. And this idea that we're just on a hair trigger at the snap of a finger to call somebody a reprobate is a false accusation. I have yet to witness that. If it occurs, I have not seen it. I have not witnessed it. I don't notice this at all. I don't notice this at all. It's only the people who act like psychopaths that are more likely to be referred to as a reprobate, like Michelle Morgan, who apparently has a crush on Adam Fannin. That's creepy. I would not let my wife type gushing comments constantly about another man all day long. It's weird. But anyway, here's my point. Don't act like a reprobate. You won't be called a reprobate. But the idea that we're on a hair trigger to just assign everyone with that label is fiction. I haven't noticed it.
I haven't noticed it either, the way people say. And look, who cares? Because it's not as pervasive as people think. I've seen some like random Christians on Facebook maybe call somebody a reprobate. I've been called a reprobate in, like, you know, 2016. I remember, you know, around then, I remember some guys who, like, didn't like me, who were, like, new IFB, but it's, you know, the same MO. They're just, like, hating on the new IFB all the time. But they love Pastor Anderson and the new IFB, though. Oh, I love Pastor Anderson and the new IFB, but I just hate you all, but I love you. And then they, like, yeah, they end up calling me a reprobate. And the people who do that, that I've seen, they usually, like, come and go. Sometimes they're just, like, you know, crazy people who come and go. But it's not pervasive. And that's it. Here's another thing. This is what they mean when they say the new IFB reprobates everybody. It's just code for they don't like who Pastor Anderson calls a reprobate. Because you know who I think is a lot bolder to label people reprobates than any of my friends? It's Pastor Anderson. And I'm not saying that as it's a fault. I basically, if Pastor Anderson preaches something, or not just Pastor Anderson, my pastor, any man of God, you know, it's not just putting Pastor Anderson on some pedestal. I want to follow men who follow God. I want to find the right people who God has worked in, and I want to learn from them. And Pastor Anderson is, you know, he'll let you know if he thinks somebody is a reprobate. And I just think they don't like who he calls a reprobate. And then, again, they basically just take it out on us. It's like they take it out on the kids or something. It's like, because, you know, the dad will beat them up. But then, you know, so they just pick on the kid when the dad's not around or something. I mean, that's what it reminds me of. It's a stupid accusation. It's like, you know, if it's like you said, if you don't want to be called a reprobate, don't act like a reprobate. So here are some tips on how to not be called a reprobate, for example, and how not to be kicked out of church, and how not to have people reprobating you. So don't act like a reprobate. So don't be a whisperer. There's one. Don't be a backbiter. Don't be a despiser of those that are good. Mm. Don't speak evil of dignities.
Uh-oh.
And don't lift yourself up, and don't creep in, and don't be double-tongued, and don't go around sowing division, and don't try to, selectively go and talk to people and see who you can turn against a certain pastor or something. That's pretty reprobate behavior, if you ask me. So if you don't want people to think, like, hey, is this guy a reprobate? Well, don't do what reprobates do. And that's not just, you know, some abomination of queerdom. It's there's a whole list there in Romans 1 that they're filled with. And a lot of it has to do with their tongue and their deceitfulness and their truce breaking and all these things. Covenant breakers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, et cetera, et cetera. So don't act like that if you don't want people to call you a reprobate. And, you know, why are you so insecure? People who start off their, like, they comment in these Facebook groups, I'm probably going to get reprobated for saying this. They're probably going to reprobate me for saying this. It's like, you're, okay, one, you just showed me that you're, like, insecure. And that I don't even know if you believe what you're about to say. And two, you're just showing me that you're lame, that you don't understand, that you have no understanding, that you're just bitter. I mean, I don't even know where to go with it. It's just like, so it's like these people don't see their own behavior. It's like, I'm probably going to be reprobated for saying this. Stop being so passive aggressive and weird.
Yeah, that's like,
stop. If you're so worried that you're going to be reprobated, you know, first of all, why don't you just have some security and stop being so insecure in your walk with God? If, like, look, when I, like, type my opinion to my friends, I don't just worry, like, I hope they're not going to think I'm a reprobate because of this. But basically, you know, you're probably not walking with God, and you probably don't, like, have a fellowship with the Spirit of God right then. So you're just like, well, I'm going to give my opinion, but I'm going to backpedal too, and I'm going to say that I'm speaking about people in general, but I'm really talking about people specifically, and I'm going to attack people, but then at the end of my comment, I'm just going to say, this is just in general. It's like, everybody knows what you're doing. You're talking about me. You're talking about Ben. You're talking about us. because, yeah, we also will say somebody's reprobate, like John MacArthur. I mean, I haven't seen this, but I don't know. Anybody who, like, you're promoting John MacArthur, you're, like, promoting his, like, oh, that's pretty, you're either incredibly daft and haven't learned anything in church, or you're just, you know, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. It's like, you learn one thing. So we learn one thing. So you have this one, you have Pastor Anderson or Pastor Jimenez or any pastor, and you're learning stuff from them. You're learning stuff from them. And then basically this other guy comes along and he says that he, you know, loves them too. But then he's like, just like over here though, he's like picking apart everything like in public. And he's like, he's not walking with the same spirit. I don't feel the same spirit. I don't know that spirit. And maybe, you know, I don't know, like, I don't know who's saved and who's not. Like, I've never called Pastor Boyle a reprobate. Definitely, you know, I'm definitely not insinuating that Pastor Tommy McMurtry is unsaved. Those other people are. But, you know, like Michael Johnson. Dude, Michael Johnson is, I mean, I'm so disappointed in that guy. First of all, he's another guy. I met him and I tried to love him. You know, I went down there. His preaching was lame. I went for Pastor Jimenez, but his preaching was so lame. And even back then, it's like I just meet him. Takes me aside, talking all this smack about Pastor Anderson.
What?
Oh, I just think this about the Lord's Supper, brother. And, you know, it's just, and he just he's like a babbler. He's a rambler. He just rambles and babbles. And it's uncomfortable. It's not a pleasant experience just sitting there listening to him talk. But he's immediately like attacking Pastor Anderson to a stranger and just telling me everything, like why he disagrees. And I'm like, and, you know, I'm having grace with these people, and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe, you know, he's just a pastor. He just disagrees, you know. I'm a little, like, uncomfortable with this. But, you know, I mean, his heart's in the right place. But, you know, because I always give people the benefit of the doubt. But then it's always, like, looking back, I'm like, oh, so that's why he was just, you know, he says something about the Lord's Supper, about how Pastor Anderson does it. And I was talking to him about it, and I told him, like, yeah, I don't agree with Pastor Anderson on that either. I'm not convinced on that. Because I'm not fully persuaded, I believe, you know, I believe in doing the Lord's Supper the way my church does it. So therefore I do it that way. And so I told him, I'm like, yeah, I'm not dogmatic on it though. You know, it's, and he's like, well, I am dogmatic. And then just going on and on and on. And,
that's Fannin.
You look back
Fannin.
On it and you're like, oh, that's why he was acting so lame. And that's why he was being a backbiter. And that's why he was trying to like test the waters. Like, hey, well, so I don't agree with this about Pastor Anderson. What about you? And it's like, I guess, you know, I this is what I think. But, and it's, man, it's like a weariness of just like, you just want to like bang your head against the wall because people are just so lame.
Fannin did like a 47-part series on the Lord's Supper shortly after he established his fake church. That seems to be a uniting force with some of these people, is they take that just super hardcore overboard. But yeah, people will do that, is they'll take you aside and they'll try to sow seeds of discord. They want to sow discord among brethren, which is something God hates according to Proverbs chapter 6. It makes me sick and I have no patience for it. If you're going to backbite, do it to somebody else. It's not going to work with me. I'll just call you out right then and there. I'll just rebuke you right then and there. It's wicked. And Michael Johnson, by the way, this guy is a snake. I have zero respect for him whatsoever. He is one of these users and abusers. And he just tossed aside the movement the second that it wasn't convenient for him. Anybody who doesn't see that has blinders on. Michael Johnson is wicked. He's a snake. You say, well, it seems like you're going a little over the top. Okay, listen to what he said. Straight from the horse's mouth. This is what he accused us of right here. He says we would meme about the death of Jesus Christ.
Called him names. They railed on him. They mocked him. They memed him. Look, if it was Jesus, if Jesus died in 2020, they would have been memeing him. You know what that is? They put his picture up there, and then they put words over it and make fun of him, okay? That's what they would have done. And guess what? That's the spirit of the new IFB. They've got this little social clique, and they're nothing but a bunch of bullies now. That's what it's turned into. And you know what? If you don't get on the program, you don't get on the board with it, they're going to just rail. Hey, we're going to get more savage in here. We're going to get more, more fierce, saying, hey, you're bad. For even saying that person, is innocent. He didn't mean, the guy says, well, I don't think he meant it that way. Let me check on that. And then they're like, he's colluding with the enemy. He called that pastor, and that's a bad pastor. We've already determined that he's a bad pastor. Don't you know we're piling on this pastor now? It's like, come on. And they stir up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from the Galilee to this place. And when Pilate heard of Galilee...
All right, that's enough. So there you heard it. This guy can't preach his way out of a wet paper bag, is sitting up there behind his pulpit lying. He calls us bullies. No. Michael Johnson, you're the bully. You're the railer. You're the user. You're the one who exploits people and freeloads off of them and leeches off of them for followers, leeches off of them for popularity, leeches off of them so you can take advantage and exploit them for their hospitality. Meanwhile, behind their back, you're stabbing the jabs with your knife, one after the other, a series of jabs until finally you're caught with your troll YouTube channel. And it's funny how this guy, he has a problem with Dane Johansson. He has a problem with Dane Johansson, and he can't shut up about it. Meanwhile, he posts comments, flattering comments, on a YouTube channel belonging to literal Works Salvation hyper-Calvinist damnable heretics.
Reprobates.
He's in there in the comments section like a little weasel. A good video, brother, at malicious lies. I guess I shouldn't be surprised because he also propagates malicious lies, claiming that the new IFB would meme the death of Jesus Christ. That's false. That's a railing accusation. That's garbage. This guy is the bully. This guy's the infiltrator. Sick of it.
Yeah, you know what these guys are? They're a bunch of Edomite Christians. That's what they're like. They're just like, they're like these trash can channels. They're like Edomites. So basically, like, anybody who's attacking Jerusalem, anybody who's going to war and trying to besiege Jerusalem, it's like they're just going to get involved. They're like, hey, I'll loot the city too with you. It's like, hey, I'll try to break down the foundation too. I'll slay anybody who's escaping because I'm an Edomite. And I don't love Jerusalem and the people of God. It's because I'd rather be an Edomite. I'd rather, act like Esau. And basically, these people don't respect the birthright, the blessing. I mean, I believe when I was introduced to this movement, I was handed like the greatest gift anybody could ever receive. And just great teaching and like the gift that keeps on giving, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But these people basically, it's like, oh, Jerusalem is compassed about with armies. I'll go team up with them. I was going to mock him and say his name, but even that reprobate Calvinist, it's crazy. And so that's why, people who are on the fence here, what I want to do with this stream? I want to encourage all my brothers. I want to, here's the thing. I'm not anybody, I'm not a pastor. And people might say I don't just like attack pastors or call out pastors ever. But basically all this is being done in public against people that are also pastors and that are men of God. It's like, look, I didn't create this dynamic, okay? I didn't make Pastor Anderson a man of God. And if people don't like for a just sober thinking Christian to look at Pastor Anderson and say, okay, that's the man of God, I'll follow him, just like they did in the Bible, it's like you would have called Samuel a cult leader, you would have called David a cult leader, you would have called Jesus Christ a cult leader, and said that they were all just following man. I follow man because I do follow man. My Savior is a man. He's the man Christ Jesus. And I follow him, and I follow the men that God has given him out of the world. So I don't want to be some Edomite and just team up with, you know, like the Babylonians and the Chaldeans or something, you know, when the city of God is being ravaged and attacked. I want to be on the right side of the battle because I don't want God to destroy me either. And I've been thinking about this too. Like, I was thinking like, man, would I ever just like turn on Pastor Anderson? Like, what could make me turn on Pastor Anderson? And maybe I'm giving my flesh too much credit. I hope not. I'll never turn on Pastor Anderson as far as I'm concerned. I'll never turn on him. What I'll do is just go away quietly and go serve God somewhere else.
Same here. I was thinking about that earlier.
And just keep going to church and just keep soul winning and just keep making disciples and seeing people baptized over here. And I even had one of these people say to me, and this is just proof. They were like, well, you know what? Pastor Anderson just made me not want to be a fundamentalist anymore. I just don't want to be a fundamental Christian anymore. It's like, that's because your faith was never in God. That's because you never even had a walk with God. And so now you're acting like an Edomite.
Right. Yeah. Or, you know, there are people who they would turn on Pastor Anderson on a dime. And you just brought it up. I don't know how, especially if you got saved from this guy, especially if you're a pastor leading a flock that you could largely credit to him. It's like 99% of the people going to your church are his listeners. You've benefited from him. Instead of being gracious, instead of being a friend, instead of being loving, they didn't stab him in the back. Why? Out of envy. Because it's just too much to ask. You know, it's funny, they accuse us of not wanting to get along. You know, can't we just all get along? We're always fighting people. No. You don't understand. They're the ones who are constantly envious. They're the ones who are backbiting. They're the ones who are bullying. They're the ones who are railing. And I'm saying, wouldn't it be great if they could stop being a bunch of envious railers who want to just bring Pastor Anderson down to their level instead of just working with him? What a concept. We're all pulling the same rope. We're all on the same team here. How about we work together? How about this concept? Pastor Anderson has more followers than you. Great! Why? Because he's advancing the cause of Christ. This isn't high school where we go around trying to engage in a popularity contest, but rather, we're all in this for one reason and one reason only, to advance the cause of Christ. That's what matters most. Who cares if one church is bigger than the other? Praise God for that. I hope Faithful Word ends up having 600 every Sunday. That would be awesome. You think my pastor would get upset about that? You think my pastor would then become envious over the fact that he's running hundreds more than we are? That would be ridiculous. That's carnal and vain and silly. And yet, this is the pattern you see with the users and abusers, is they gain their following, they gain the popularity they're looking for, and then as soon as it's convenient for them, toss them aside like a piece of trash. They toss the movement aside like a piece of trash. And it's infuriating to me. It happens over and over again. And it's always the same reason, envy. It's because they look at the man of God and they say, I want to supersede him, rather than saying, I want to work with him. I want to do mighty exploits alongside him. Let's walk together and accomplish great things for God together. That's what I want, Peter. You know, if you text me at the end of the year and you say, hey, I got so-and-so number of people saved, X number of people saved, I should say. Imagine if I then responded with a sarcastic tone and a passive-aggressive tone and started to treat you with a bitter attitude because I was envious at the fact that you did more soul winning than me. How about I use that as motivation for me to be better? Why doesn't Michael Johnson look at Pastor Anderson and instead of stab him in the back and make stupid troll YouTube channels, why doesn't he use it as motivation for him to be a better preacher, to be a better soul winner, to be a better pastor? Is this, I mean, am I the one that's gone crazy here or what?
He's probably not interested in that.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, because he's probably not interested in those things that you mentioned. He's interested in doing whatever he does, I guess, making anonymous troll accounts or whatever. But people, you know, it's not just about Pastor Anderson. People attack our friends, just laymen. They attack other preachers too. You know, they attack Jonathan Shelley. They attack Bruce Mejia. They attack, you know, all our church friends, anybody associated with us. And, you know, Pastor Anderson specifically, and a lot of these pastors, it's like they're accused of having no grace. They have a lot of grace. I mean, they have so much grace that these guys, it's like they come in and they try to co-opt the movement. It's like they literally are like calling themselves New IFB and hashtag. But then in the they're like, we're New IFB now. But, you know, they're going to separate from Pastor Anderson. So basically, it's like they're making a statement like, we're New IFB, but we're separated from Pastor Anderson. So they think like they're the real New IFB. It's like, are you with us or with Pastor Anderson? And like a couple of these guys have like given that ultimatum at their church, like almost verbatim, like, are you with us or are you with Pastor Anderson?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't remember Pastor Anderson even like ripping on that as hard as he could, because like, so these people are coming in, they're trying to do what? They want their followers to be people like me, people like you, people who've already been won to Christ. We know what we believe in that movement. So I look at that and I'm like, yeah, you're saying your Pastor Anderson is not gracious. And, you know, it's like I said, I'm not a pastor or any special person. So the reason I'm doing this stream and talking like I am is because they're my friends. And because I basically want, you know, I'll pick up some slack for them if I can, you know, because I know they're pastoring, they're doing a ton of work, they're focused. So you know what, if just like, if maybe me, if Ben the Baptist has to take some flack instead and, you know, say what we believe needs to be said, and what so many of our friends are saying the same things, it's just open about these people, then I'll do that, you know, as best as I can. But basically, you know, I want to fight the Lord's battles in my life. And that means standing up for my friends and for the people who the Spirit of God is working in and God's people.
Well, people will say the movement has too much drama. I see this comment a lot. I don't necessarily like certain types of drama. But you know what? If there's going to be another Trinity battle, I say bring it on. If there's going to be some other doctrine that's challenged by an infiltrator who comes in and tries to sow division over that doctrine to draw away disciples after himself, I say bring it on. Because the Bible tells us to contend for the faith. It says to fight the good fight of faith. And I'm ready to fight that fight if I have to. I'm ready to be a part of a movement that's going to go through battles. I'm ready to be a part of a church that's going to go through battles. Pastor Shelley's preached on this multiple times. That guess what? The men of God who are actually accomplishing something for Christ, they're going to go through some battles. They're going to go through warfare. They're going to go through conflict. That's just the nature of the Christian life when you're in the front lines of the special forces. And so if there's a lot of drama associated with this movement, it's because the movement's getting a bunch of people saved. It's because the movement's doing mighty works for Jesus Christ. It's because the movement is bringing people into church and getting them plugged in and helping them to get on fire and zealous for the things of God. That's why the devil isn't going to sit idly by and watch this all happen without responding in some way. And so, yeah, there have been battles that we fought. You had the Tyler Baker situation in 2017 that bled into 2018. We all know what happened in 2019 with Adam Fannin. And this year there have been some things going on as well. And that's how it's always going to be. Every year there's going to be a battle. Every year there's going to be a conflict. But I say, bring it on. I say, bring it on, Peter. Because, look, this is what it means to be in the front lines.
Could you imagine? So could you imagine like Thomas or James or John, just like in the middle of Peter's ministry, or in the middle of Jesus's ministry, being like, there's just too much drama, Jesus. You know, these Pharisees, they're, you know, they're, You're always getting into fights with these Pharisees, and, you know, they're saying you have a devil, and you're saying I have not a devil. And, man, they're trying to throw you off a cliff, and, you know, they're trying to deliver you up to death, and, you know, the Herodians are after you now, and they're trying to lay these snares for you. There's just too much drama. So basically, if there's too much drama for you, then just leave and find some comfy place, but or just grow up, because that's life. And why don't you just be like so many of us and just use it as fuel? Why don't you just choose to like it? Why don't you just choose to understand that it comes with the territory? Because why don't you just take your eyes off the drama and put your eyes on Jesus Christ for a second and see, like, okay, despite all this drama, is the work good? Are they good works? Like, do the works speak for themselves? That's what the Bible teaches. That's why you can just walk in faith and just do the work of God and not worry about, you know, and, you know, basically, you know, God will bless you, and he'll be the one to lift you up if you delight in his word and if you commit your works to the Lord. But so why don't you just use it for good and just understand that it's going to work for good, and that these things come and go, and this too shall pass, and that, but, you know, the word of our God abides forever. Like, why don't you just think like that? Like, you know, I don't think I have, like, all of this to offer, all this great insight to offer, but I think I have that to offer. And it's probably because, you know, it's, of course, it's in the Bible, but Pastor Anderson preaches a lot. You know, another thing I appreciate about Pastor Anderson is his positivity.
I like it a lot.
And he's very positive in the faith, and he's accused of being just negative. He's not. He's extremely
very positive guy.
It's an encouragement.
He's more positive than I am. I'll tell you that.
Go ahead, Ben. Say that again. I want to hear.
No, I just said he's more positive than I am. I'll tell you that. And I wish I wasn't. I wish I was as positive as he is. It's something I'm working on.
Yeah. So if people don't understand that, you know, look, Pastor Anderson is a man of God, and he's our man. We love him. Just like I love my local pastor. Just like I love multiple men of God over here in New Jersey, but I love Pastor Anderson because the Bible says, you know, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for I've begotten you to Jesus Christ through the gospel, it says. So Paul said to the people he won to Christ, look, I know you have all these instructors in Christ, but I'm the one who won you to Christ. That's why we like Pastor Anderson, we're not going to turn on him. It's biblical. It's right. It's the Spirit that wrote the Bible. That's why it's the same Spirit that won't just, like, receive all these railing accusations and, like, they want to tell us all the drama that's going on at Faithful Word and see if we'll turn and see if, like, we'll, you know, start going some other direction because of it. It's not going to happen. It's just simply a losing battle for them, especially because they're just giving us fuel for the fire. I mean, you know, this, like, you know, I'm thankful that everything works together for good to Christians who love God. And I've been seeing that more and more. And so nobody can stop the new IFB. Only the new IFB can stop the new IFB, because the new IFB, it's, you know, here's another name for it. It's called New Testament Christianity. You don't like the new IFB. You don't like that. Okay, let's call it Biblical Christianity.
Yeah.
Instead, let's call it New Testament Christianity. Let's call it the Book of Acts movement.
Yeah, just let your Bible fall open and you're going to see some sort of conflict. Well, Peter, I'm going to begin to land the aircraft now. We probably pissed some people off and went in some different directions, but you know what? I think that there were things that needed to be said, and really, the purpose of this podcast wasn't to necessarily ruffle feathers or anything like that, but the purpose was simply to defend the new IFB. Does this mean the new IFB is perfect? No. Does this mean that all criticism of the movement is automatically bad or wrong? No. However, there have been things said about this movement that I don't believe would constitute fair criticism, and those are the things that we addressed here on the program tonight. And we also got to share our personal testimonies with people. We got to share testimonies coming from people in the chat room and how their lives have been changed thanks to this movement. And it's time to just stick up for the men of God, and not just them, but the church members as well. You know, it's time to stick up for them. These are our friends. And the thing is that it's real simple. Okay, it's real simple. You want to attack my friend, you're attacking me. That's my attitude. That's my mentality. If you're going to attack Peter James, you're attacking me. If you're going to attack Pastor Shelley, you're attacking me. If you're going to attack Brother Ryan Urbanic, you're attacking me and his brother as well. Okay? Brother Nick, all my friends. And if I left somebody out, please don't think I don't like you or that you're not my friend. It just happened that I didn't mention it, okay? Don't get offended. Don't be a snowflake. Brother Graham's another one. Folks, you attack any of my friends, you're attacking me. And again, you want to criticize the new IFB? Fine. But if it's unfair, if it's petty, and it's over the top, then it's completely unnecessary. And the reality is this. We live in a world that's getting more sick and depraved by the minute, by the second, let alone by the day. And so I don't think it's productive for me to turn the barrel of my gun inwardly. I don't think it's productive for me to turn the barrel of my gun inwardly and start attacking my brothers and sisters in Christ and nitpicking them for everything that they do that isn't exactly the way I want it done or exactly the way I would do it or exactly the way that I would articulate it. I don't think that's productive. I don't think that's right. I don't agree with every single statement that's ever been made behind the pulpit of a new IFB church. Of course not. No two people are going to agree on 100% of the things that they believe. But you know what? We can all do at the very least is keep the main thing the main thing and realize that as this world gets more wicked, the righteous remnant is going to get smaller. It's going to continue to get smaller. We're going to have less and less options for good churches out there. We're going to have less and less options for good fellowship. And I want to stick by my friend Peter James. I want to stick by my friend Pastor Shelley and my friend Pastor Anderson. I consider him to be my friend. Whether he would say the same about me, who knows? But I consider him to be my friend. Just kidding. But here's the thing. You know, I want to stick by my friends because the wicked are getting more loud and boisterous than ever. We're seeing our culture degrade before our eyes. So why would I nitpick a family that loves the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would I nitpick a church that's going out soul winning and getting people saved? Why would I nitpick a pastor who hates sin, who preaches hard, and is serving Christ to the best of his ability? Why would I do that? It doesn't make any sense. I love the new IFB. Doesn't mean it's perfect, but I love the new IFB. I love the pastors. I love the people who go to the churches associated with this movement. And like I've already said multiple times, you don't have to go to a new IFB church to do great things for God, as evidenced by Peter himself, who doesn't go to one. And I have plenty of friends who don't go to one either. There are great churches doing great things who have nothing to do with this movement out there. I believe that. But at the end of the day, the new IFB is what we were talking about here on the podcast, defending it, explaining why we love it, explaining how it impacted our lives. And we also got to hear from people in the chat room as well. Peter, any last words before I close this thing out?
Yeah, one thing I was thinking about is all the benefits of the new IFB and just the positive things that have come of it. How about all the just young Americans who were just like wandering, who got saved and then just had a bunch of kids right away. And now they have Christian families. And now we're amassing this this army of God's people because they heard Bible preaching and they obeyed it. I just want to give a shout out to some of my friends, new IFB friends, who, you know, and if I left you out, don't worry, it's not because you're not my friend, but you know, just shout out. I want to give a shout out to you guys. Let's keep and encourage you guys. Let's just keep going. Let's just keep soul winning. Let's have more soul winning marathons. Let's keep going to church. Let's keep being a blessing to our local church. Let's keep fighting the right fights. Let's keep believing what we believe and not becoming liberal and not becoming watered down and becoming and just be sure and steadfast in the things that we've learned. But you know, so shout out to Jersey Joe, shout out to Mountain Baptist Church, Pastor Jason Robinson, shout out to Jeff Putzler, Maria Nico, Rob Vitolano, First Works Baptist Church, Sure Foundation Baptist Church, Pastor Aaron Thompson, Remy Thompson, that whole family, Brandon and Nia DeHaas, the Dawes, you know, all our new IFB friends. There's so many. I could name just so many people that I love that have come from the new IFB.
Stronghold Baptist
and,
Church.
You know, we're still going strong. I mean, who else? I just don't want to leave you out, guys. Alberto Hernandez, Steadfast Baptist Church.
Yeah.
All my friends.
Alberto.
All you guys. Every soul winner.
I love Alberto.
Every new IFB, you know, young single punk jerk, John Rivera. You know, all my friends. Frank, you. Shout out to all you guys. You guys are awesome. The new IFB is awesome. And it's okay if, you know, if you mistakenly reprobated somebody a year or two ago, hey, you know, I forgive you for that. Maybe ask God for forgiveness for that. And then let's move on and just keep doing works for God. Because, and don't let, you know, don't let the devil come up and whisper in your ear, like, you know, like accusations. Like, yeah, but is it really of God? Oh, yeah, but what about this? What about the Spirit? Oh, don't you hate the Spirit?
I think it's a great Spirit.
Anonymous YouTube accounts. So forsake that Spirit, and we'll go make anonymous YouTube accounts. We'll go to trash can channels and leave comments. Such garbage. The new IFB is awesome. The new IFB is life-changing. The new IFB is the most important conglomerate of people that exists in the world, in this country at this time, in the sense that because of the works that they're doing, you know, God's people, Christians in general, yes, like, we're important. They're all important. We're all God's children. And they're doing good works. But in the sense that, like, we're zealous for soul winning and we're going all over the world preaching the gospel, we're doing missions trips, we're doing all kinds of things. I mean, God is with us. You know, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Not Patrick Boyle, not Michael Johnson, not Joe Major, not anybody. Not Adam Fannin, not anybody. So the new IFB, don't let anybody throw shade on it and make you ashamed of the new IFB. I'm not ashamed of the new IFB. I'm not ashamed of you if you wild out on Facebook and like to attack false prophets. Like, I'm not ashamed of you for any reason. I'd rather hang out with you than the people we talked about tonight.
Well, Peter, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. I want to do a shout-out to Stronghold Baptist Church and Pastor Dave Berzins, Shield of Faith
yes.
Baptist Church
yes.
and Pastor Joe Jones as well. He's a great guy and a very good preacher. Mountain Baptist Church, Pastor Jason Robinson, Steadfast, Pastor Shelley, and others. I like that you brought up Alberto. I kind of feel bad that I left him out. Alberto, you're a great guy. So look at it. It's just all love now. Now it's turned into a love fest. Okay, but folks, this is how it is.
Hey, the new IFB is a love fest.
That's what it is.
The new IFB is a love fest.
That's what it is. Yeah, there's a lot of love. And at the end of the day, we are here to advance the cause of Christ together. And frankly speaking, you and I are beneficiaries of the preaching. The work that these pastors are putting in, I'm just appreciative of it. That's it. I'm appreciative of it. The work they're putting in, Pastor Thompson and all the rest of them, the work they put in to feed the flock of God, it's not something that I think we can even relate to. That's how hard they work. And so I think as laymen, we should just appreciate what they're doing, respect them, and try and be, no matter what church you're going to, just try and be a blessing. It's really not that hard. Just try and be a blessing and just act normal, okay? Let's be normal and be a blessing. How does that sound, Peter?
That sounds great. Yeah, that sounds great. Look, just try to keep growing. That's all. All you can do is just grow and learn from your mistakes and not let somebody beat you over the head with it and then say that you're, you know, some bitter new IFB guy or something. You know, that's not the truth. That's not right. And we all know that we all know that what's been said tonight is true. We all know where the Spirit of God is. They know it too. They don't like it. And it's not that they disagree with it. They just don't like it. They don't like God working. So it's not my fault, but I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing because it's what works and it's what's right. You know, I've never been like laying in my bed at night and just been like convicted or been thinking like, I don't know if I should be following Pastor Anderson, the new IFB. Is this right? Oh man, are these people wicked? I just don't know God. I've never thought that. I've thought that about other things. I've laid in my bed and thought, like, is this a sin that I'm doing? I'm conflicted about it. You know, you're laying in your bed, you're conflicted about things. I've never been conflicted about the new IFB. You know what I've been – the only thing I've been conflicted about is, like, you know, whether or not I should keep giving people the benefit of the doubt on whether or not there's some snake. And, you know, that's the only thing I've conflicted about.
Yeah, I would say the same thing myself. Peter, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. God bless you, and I hope to have you back on the program sometime soon in the near future.
Definitely. Thanks, Ben. It was good talking to you.
Epic conversation, for sure. Spicy at times, but you know what? What do you expect when you and I link up for a live stream, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, Peter, have a good night.
All right, you too, man.
That's Peter James, and he is coming to us from New Jersey. Some people say that people from New Jersey have an accent. I can't necessarily hear it for him, but, you know, maybe other people can. I used to live in New Jersey, so perhaps I'm used to it. But anyway, that's going to do it for the show, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. Let's do some shout-outs for the chat room before I close this thing out. We've got Kevin Doty, Dave C., Kimmy was in there, Seedless Bacon, who did a shout-out for All Scripture Baptist Church, Pastor Grayson Fritz, a great pastor, and somebody who I had a really good time fellowshipping with when he came to join us for the men's retreat. That was a lot of fun. We got into interesting discussion about policing in America. KJV Baptist was in there. Dylan KJV. Simon Zelotes. That's Brother Joe. Charity Baptist. KJV only. Maria YouTube 100, who I'm a fan of. Tommy No Doubt. Psalms 139:22, and other people as well. So thanks for watching the podcast, or the live stream tonight. Ray KJV was in there as well. Thanks for listening, everybody, to the show. I do appreciate your support. If you want some more content, don't forget to hit the subscribe button, the red button on the bottom right-hand corner of the video, so you can get some more content. YouTube.com/BenTheBaptist is the URL for the channel if you want to share it with your friends and family. And I'll just leave with this. God bless you all. You know, let's just be united in supporting men of God who are helping us out spiritually the way they are, preparing sermons each and every week, feeding us with knowledge, helping us to be a better Christian. You know, what's their role as pastors? To help us be better Christians. Let's be appreciative of that. Give them double honor and support the movement that made us who we are as people, that gave us the zeal that we have for the Lord, that helped us go soul winning, if those attributes would apply to you. If you got saved outside of the movement and you found out about it and joined, I can guarantee you this, you probably learned a lot over the years. So don't let these backstabbers, don't let these users, these freeloaders smear great men of God. Don't let them smear a great movement. This is a fantastic movement. This movement is of God. This movement has a loving spirit. And the naysayers, frankly speaking, they don't know what they're talking about. And for some of them, this is what I have to say, not for all of them, but for the more vicious ones, go jump in a lake. I'll talk to you guys again next Monday. Have a good one.